Our first reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 24. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. The word of the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from a cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The word of the Lord. If you were following along in your pew Bible, or if you were simply listening to these words, you can't have missed it. We're going on a trip up the mountain, whether we go with Moses or Jesus and his disciples. There is something about mountaintop. This is Transfiguration Sunday. And what happened? A mysterious story for us in many ways, because we don't share that firsthand person experience on this day with either Moses or Jesus, but we hear about it. And there's always something that happens between a personal experience and the telling to someone. Perhaps you've seen a great movie, and you can't wait to get home from the theater and tell someone what happened to you in a particular scene in that movie as the action unfolded and as the dialogue took hold of you, and yet there's something lost in translation. Something lost between the experience and the telling of it that we long for, and yet cannot always completely grasp. And so it is today in these two accounts from the Holy Scriptures, which are appointed for the day called Transfiguration Sunday. To be transfigured means that if I were standing here just like this now, and in an instant I was completely modified, changed, recognizable, but extremely different. Moses When he came down from the mountain, he had a glow about him, such as others were fearful of beholding. Transfiguration of Jesus takes place on this day in the presence of Peter, James, and John, not all the disciples, but this trio chosen for the experience. And there's mystery in the hearing of it, right? I mean, Jesus says to come and go up the mountain with him, and that part's the easy part for us. Jesus calls, and we want to follow where he goes. But then when the disciples get there, they have an experience they don't quite know what to do with. Jesus is changed. His face, his clothes became dazzling white. And then Moses and Elijah show up. Now, haven't you ever wondered how it was that Peter, James, and John knew that what they saw was Moses and Elijah? Doesn't that pique your curiosity just a little bit? Were they wearing T-shirts saying, Moses, Elijah, so you know. Well, again, we rely on the power of God to put into our minds things we don't know but ought to know. And so I'm hoping that that's really how it was done. That the power of God allowed Peter, James, and John to know, oh my goodness, we are in the presence of these two great prophets of God, Moses and Elijah. And if we think about it for a minute, Moses and Elijah had some mountaintop experiences themselves, didn't they? We heard about Moses going up the mountain to meet with God. It is the mountain of God where he receives the commandments and brings them to the Israelites and to all of us. A mountaintop experience indeed. A conversation with God and a listening to God and to be in the awesome presence of God. And for Elijah, Elijah had a couple of mountaintop experiences. The first one was pretty terrific. He was in a kind of a match with the priests of Baal. And God showed his power through the beckoning of Elijah, and the offering was consumed, and so were the priests of Baal. And that's when the second mountaintop experience becomes important for Elijah, because now Elijah is a wanted man. They seek my life, Lord, to take it. And Elijah goes up the mountain and into the cave, and you remember that story as well. Elijah, why are you on the mountain of God and why are you in the cave, says God? Well, it seemed like a good shelter. I need protection. And God reveals to Elijah that all the protection he needs is to trust. Trust in God. Transfiguration Sunday is the culmination of the Epiphany season you've been celebrating these many weeks. Light. That's why we sang, Shine, Jesus, Shine. Didn't it seem like the appropriate thing to be singing on the day when we once more seek the radiant presence of God in our lives, in our worship, and in our world? Shine, Jesus, because there is still darkness. There is still trouble. And we can only reflect light. We can't generate our own. We can only reflect the light of God like so many polished mirrors shining out into the world. And sometimes our mirror gets smudged. And we need God to clean it up. So once again, it can reflect the love that God has for all people. And the instruments that God uses, the torches that God bears are you. You are the reflection of God's love to the world. I don't know what the lessons were last Sunday here, but where I was, it was about letting our light shine, about not hiding our light under a basket, a cover, about not seeking a place safe under the pews, but being emboldened, emblazoned, enlightened, and empowered to be the people of God. Our journey, the journey of our lives, is a sacred journey. And the mountaintops to which we are called may not be as famous as Mount Sinai or Mount Tabor, but they are the places where God is wanting to have an encounter of the divine kind with you, in the companionship of those who fill this place. The light shines today in God's word. The light shines today at the table of the Lord, where you will encounter God as he comes to you into your hands and feeds you with all the love and mercy. And then God does not say, well, let's bar the doors and stay safe till next time. But you are sent. Just like Jesus talks to his disciples and says, don't talk about this vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. You see, that is the fullness of the story. And Moses and Elijah's visit and the transfiguration of Jesus in all his glory will make its most impact and most sense following his blessed resurrection. And so the disciples are told to keep silence until that point. Well, you and I are free of that constraint. You and I already know that our Lord is risen from death. We already know that we are free to go about the world and by what we're saying and thinking and doing to bring the impact of God's love to bear in the things that seem to us ordinary, mundane, not special. But you see, my dear mirrors of Christ's love, you are important to the transmission of the gospel. You, not just preachers. There's very few of us, as you can see. We're having a hard time spreading us all around. So we know that it's not about us, thank goodness. It's about all of us. It's about all of us who have been called in our baptism, which is our adoption, and yet our commissioning as well. How old do you have to be to tell the world that God loves them? Do you have to be in your 70s, your 60s, your 50s? No. The youngest among us, the babe in arms, is able to reflect back the glory of God in a smile, the tugging on your finger, our preschoolers by their exuberance, their unfettered love in running to you. What could be more holy than to be embraced by a child? That's the embodiment of God's love. And those of us who have lived a few more years, who have made more orbits of the sun, well, we have a long history. We have experienced again and again the mercy of God. His presence in our life when we were at our lowest ebb, and his presence in our life when we were at our highest joy, and all the places in between. There is no one who is not capable of sharing the love of God, because God is always with us. The God of the mountaintop is also the God of the valley. There's a country song that says that somewhere. The God of the mountaintop is also the God of the valley. Wherever we are, whatever we're experiencing, God is with us. Today marks the threshold of the holy season of Lent. We are crossing now from this time when we have been exuberant in our worship to a more quiet time coming with Ash Wednesday and the 40 days of Lent. During that quiet time, we are given an opportunity for reflection and prayer, for additional acts of kindness, love, and service, to give up and self-deny, all as ways of giving God's love to the world and deepening our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We know the story well. We sing and pray and praise with joy. May this Transfiguration Day find you joyful and yet reverently in awe of a God who loves you so very much. And then, filled with that love and that power, go get the world and make it shine. Amen.